No matter what happens in the November election, the Jackson County Board of Commissioners will look very different in January. Two of the three members of the board opted not to run again. Don Skundrick and John Rasher are both retiring from their commissioner posts. That leaves open races for positions 1 and 3. No Democrats filed to run for either position in the May primary. There is now a Democrat in position 1 and an independent running against the Republican in position number 3. Kevin Talbert faces Colleen Roberts, who is technically the Republican and Democratic nominee. We'll explain later. Both have been offered airtime. Kevin Talbert joins us on the Jefferson Exchange today. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, your occupational background, what you do, what got you here, former political office.
Well, I could start by just saying it was like old times to come on campus this time of day, because for 26 years I drove here and went to work at SOU as mostly as director of extended campus programs, and then the last 6 years as chief information officer. But the campus is a place I do feel like it's home for me in many ways, and it's exciting to reflect on those experiences. And and they did help prepare me for running for commissioner, because had a chance to manage programs, to manage people, to be involved in the life of the community, and it was a good background. So I have a rural background, which I think is important to many county residents. I grew up on a dairy farm in Minnesota, and like a lot of young men, was anxious to get off the farm and see the wide world, and was fortunate enough to do that. In my 20s, I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Nigeria, and then spent years in the military, and I was in Ethiopia, and about 3 years in Africa in my 20s, and finished a degree in political science at the University of Minnesota, and later a master's in college student personnel at University of Wisconsin at La Crosse, and finally a doctorate in higher education administration at the University of Northern Colorado.
All right. So, as you mentioned, some administrative experience in here already.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it safe to say that at the beginning of this calendar year, you had no intention of running for this or any other office?
It is safe to say that. I did cross my mind last fall when I knew there were two commissioner openings. But Rick Dyer and Joel Okunze, the two leading candidates in the primary race, Republicans, I thought both of them were well qualified and would be good commissioners, and know the history of a difficulty of a Democrat winning a countywide race. And I got involved in the Southern Oregon Research and Extension campaign. In fact, the last time I was here in your studio, we were talking about that campaign for 4-H and Master Gardeners and all those programs. So I was involved in that campaign, didn't think at all about running. And then on election night, when we saw that Joel Okunze was upset in the Republican, I don't know if upset is the right word, but at least in my mind, it was an upset. And many people, I think, were surprised when Colleen Roberts beat Joel Okunze in the Republican primary. And she's been a critic of the county, and she was the only person to testify against putting a district for research and extension on the ballot. And because the commissioners still will play such an important role in the future of research and extension, people turned to me and said, well, are you willing to run now? And I thought, well, I don't think I could prevail as a write-in. But then found that, and thanks to the research of some of the people in the that are now part of my campaign, that you could seek the nomination of a minority party. And so I contacted the Independent Party of Oregon. They explained their principles and could I support those. And yes, I could, because they're mostly about election reform and transparency in government. And so I ran for the Independent Party nomination, which was not in the May primary, but was a write-in ballot during July. Or not a write-in, but a mail-in ballot during July. And so, yeah, was able to jump into the race with about 5 months to go.
Jumping in or backing in, as the case may be, because it's an interesting sort of a circuitous path to get to the ballot, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was to some extent. I did have an opponent in the independent primary, Clay Berenson, who's now running for Medford City Council. In fact, I saw that the Mail Tribune just endorsed him this morning. So I had a campaign to the 6,500 independent party voters that live here in Jackson County.
Interesting use of technology, or terms rather, terminology, because you're listed on the ballot as independent, but that means independent party.
Yes.
Which is sort of a contradiction in terms when you think about it.
I guess it is. Hey, the Libertarians are a party, and that's even more of a contradiction, I think. So, the Independent Party of Oregon shouldn't be confused with non-affiliated voters. And it is true that there are some people, when they registered to vote, checked independent, thinking they meant non-affiliated, but now they're members of the Independent Party. But many others are kind of fed up with the Republicans and the Democrats, and they've said, you know, I want to be independent. I want to have that flexibility. So I'm proud to represent them.
Kevin Talbert is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, an independent running for Jackson County Commissioner, independent with a capital I guess. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the issues and concerns facing the commissioners' races and the commissioners once they're elected. 800-838-3760 around the region. Within the Rogue Valley, Jackson and Josephine counties, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. You list economic development and job creation as your top priority, but really, how much can one or even all three county commissioners do in this realm?
Can I just back up for a minute, Jeffrey, and clarify, because I do want voters to know that I am a registered Democrat. I didn't change my registration. I have the nomination of the Independent Party, but the Jackson County Democrats have supported my candidacy, and I'm really appreciative of that backing.
I guess it's time to explain as well. The reason that Colleen Roberts is listed as the Democratic nominee in addition to the Republican nominee for this race is because if you get enough write-in votes in the Democratic primary, then you are cemented in as the nominee. It's been done quite a few times in Oregon where, for example, Dave Frohnmayer ran for attorney general, I think his last time out, as both the Republican and Democratic nominee.
Yeah, Sal Escobal is both the Republican, Democrat, and independent nominee, so you can have multiple listings. But in Colleen Roberts' case, it was a bit of a quirk in that she supported the GMO ban. And, you know, the GMO, the people that have promoted the GMO-free Jackson County and also the labeling ban now are a really potent new political force on the scene in Southern Oregon. And because she supported them in the primary, they urged their members who were Democrats to write her in. And so those 200 and some odd votes that she got to get that Democratic primary were largely from the GMO supporters.
Okay. Inside baseball on the political part of things. So, again, economic development and job creation commissioners, what can they do?
Well, the county can do quite a lot, but it can't do very much by itself. The county has to partner with other economic development and community organizations. So Ready, of course, is our regional economic development arm, and the county can support that and be part of it and be involved with much of the work that So Ready does, such as hosting people who are thinking about relocating their business here, recruiting other businesses, helping people understand how the county works. So if they want to expand their business or relocate here, they know what the rules of the game are. So the commissioners can be supportive in that way. They can work with the Chambers of Commerce. They can work with the Southern Oregon Visitor Association. They can really tell the story of the county because they have that public forum to do so.
Is it largely symbolic then? I mean, is something like a bully pulpit, I guess, for economic development?
Well, I think that's part of it. I think that leaders in the community have the opportunity to tell the story of the county, and we have a great story here to tell. We've got a well-prepared workforce. We have a strong educational institutions. And education is such a key to being competitive in the 21st century economy. So, we have a good story to tell, and commissioners can do that. They also the county also has a chance to make some small, I would call it more seed investments in things, like the Sustainable Valley program was something that was seeded with a small grant from the county. And I think there are opportunities that come along. I'd like to see the county find a way to support and market our GMO-free status, because for our organic and small farmers, we have a really unique niche now in Oregon. We're the only county that can claim that our products, our agricultural products and food products that are grown and produced here are GMO-free. And no matter what people think of the GMO science, it's a unique product niche. And so I'd like the county to find a way to support those folks in promoting that.
When you talk about minimizing barriers to economic growth, I mean, you're talking in terms of relaxing any regulations, any land use codes. I mean, where do barriers need to be removed and what are they?
Well, you know, I think that we don't always know what the barriers are until they surface. But I can give a concrete example of something the commissioners did just a couple of years ago. And that was as we started to get more local farmers who wanted to sell to the public, the commissioners were able to change – they weren't able to change land use laws, but they were able to change some county ordinances to allow farm stands so that local farmers could sell directly to the public from their farm. And so, you know, it's that from time to time we find that there are administrative barriers or county ordinance barriers that could be modified to help local businesses. Land use laws are more difficult. They're not county laws. They're state laws, and the county's in the business of enforcing them. And sometimes the commissioners in the past don't, and maybe if I'm a commissioner, I won't always agree with every land use law, but we do have an obligation to enforce those. But if we have an opportunity to help a local business or organization, we should do so.
It seems like everybody's getting asked about, in terms of economic development, about the support or not for the Jordan Cove LNG, liquefied natural gas terminal proposed for Coos Bay, which involves not just the terminal, but a long gas pipeline running to it right through Jackson County and crossing rivers and property and all that.
Yeah. Well, you moderated the recent climate forum, and you might remember that I said that this I found this one of the most difficult issues. But first, let me point out that the decision on the Jordan Cove Energy Facility and the liquid natural gas pipeline is going to be made by FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and if there are any other decisions, they might be made by the governor. They're not going to be made by the county commissioners. So you're really asking me about, you know, a personal opinion. And I understand the concerns of the landowners who are concerned about eminent domain. I mean, I don't believe we should use eminent domain except in really almost emergency situations, and I'm not sure that this rises to that. So I don't like the idea that property owners could have land taken for a use that they don't want. And more importantly, perhaps the environmental concerns, starting with the fracking of the natural gas that could be exported, the carbon footprint, the dangers that come from pipeline crossing rivers underground. So I, you know, it would be my inclination to be against it, my own personal opinion. But I do have to say that I've spent time in Coos Bay and have seen how that community has struggled. And people there are really hopeful that they would have something that would drive some economic development and bring some jobs to that area. In fact, it would bring jobs to Southern Oregon because a lot of the construction workers would be recruited from Southern Oregon. And there would be an ongoing support to the community. So it's been hard for me to just, you know, write it off and say, oh, we shouldn't do that at all. But it's just a difficult issue.
One of the other things you write about on your website is commissioners must find the right balance in spending the county's limited resources to ensure our safety. So do you have issues, Kevin Talbert, with how public safety money is spent now?
Well, I haven't criticized the funding that we've had for the sheriff in the jail because, people view public safety as perhaps their number one concern. They want to make sure that we're doing what we can. And people are concerned about, you know, property theft. They're concerned sometimes about personal safety. They're concerned about gangs. And in particular, they're concerned about drug use. And so there are a lot of law enforcement issues. But when I've talked about this, the story that I'm trying to tell and help people to understand is that making ourselves safe is not accomplished just by making sure the sheriff's department is well funded or making sure we have funds for the jail. That's the enforcement side, and we need that. But there's a whole other side in the public health side, what I call the prevention side, that I don't think people are as aware of, that makes just as big a difference in terms of our public safety. The county operates a very large mental health unit, and mental health is connected to the clientele that are, you know, that the sheriff and the jail are involved with. We have a lot of, we have diversion programs for drugs and alcohol. We have programs in the courts and the DA's office. Just the other day, I visited with the CASA people, the court-appointed special advocates. I know you've had them here on your show. That's a really important program, and it helps families and it helps children, and later those folks, if through that help, maybe won't have an interface with the court system or with the enforcement side. And so I think that people need to understand the county has to balance its resources in the right way. And maybe they are, maybe they're not. That's something I intend to really focus on as a commissioner.
Do you think it's a situation where, I mean, because we talk about the prevention programs leading to ultimately fewer people ending up in your jail, but you still have to maintain the jail now while you're putting these newer programs, potentially beefing them up? You don't really get any savings in the short term, do you? But potentially big savings in the long term.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, the savings are, I'm not sure that we can, you know, necessarily cut back on what we're doing. But the county, you know, has operated with a structural deficit for 10 or 12 years, as you well know. Thanks to the foresight of county administrators and previous commissioners, the county had put together about $150 million rainy day fund. And then for the last 10 or 12 years, we've been spending that down at the rate of $5 to $7 million every year. And that rainy day fund is largely gone. And so... But because of the library being able to split from the county along with the extension district and each of them having their own resources, that money is now back in the county budget. And so the county budget is close to being in balance. And so it will give, county decision makers an opportunity going forward to look where are the strategic investments we can that we might be able to make some strategic investments in that prevention side and make a difference in the expenses to the county going further down the line.
Kevin Talbert, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, running as an independent for Jackson County Commissioner. He was careful to point out he's still a registered Democrat. Things sound a lot better for the county budget, certainly, because you've taken the extension district and split that off, so it's not getting county general fund dollars anymore, neither are the libraries anymore with the formation of the Library Service District this year. But, I mean, if you're looking for ways to save some money, are there programs that you're looking at going, you know, Jackson County just does not need to do this?
Oh, gosh. I don't know, Jeffrey. We've cut back so much. In fact, the county budget right now is about almost $30 million less than it was because the county has made a lot of those reductions. And we've gone from about 1,200 county employees to about 900 county employees. So I don't think there's a lot of fat in the budget that we can look to cut back. We are, however, making some progress in some of our enterprise funds, and I think the fair and the expo are the best single example, where the county has had to subsidize those programs every year up until just the last year because they haven't been able to generate enough revenues to cover the cost of their operations. But it appears we've turned a corner there. There's a dynamic new fair board that's done a lot to kind of change the nature of the fair, do a better job of marketing it, make sure that we bring young people into the fair and into the expo, and then looking at those activities that can occur year-round in that facility. So I think if we can, those parts of the county that are entrepreneurial, if they can stop being a drag on the general fund, that's going to be a movement in the right direction. And because I operate a lot of self-support programs here at the university, I feel like I can contribute to helping to make that happen.
Is this a tricky position to run for, County Commissioner? Because, you know, a lot of folks do live in cities. There are 10 municipalities in Jackson County over which your influence as a county commissioner is limited. I mean, they don't really deal with the sheriff's office if they're inside city limits, dealing with their local police, et cetera. So most of their services do come from municipalities. So does it make it tricky to make the case to people what a county commissioner does and why people should vote for you to be one?
Well, sure, because a lot of people aren't paying attention to county government. You know, they don't think about it that maybe it's the county that has done the assessment or the county is doing something that there isn't the most popular thing. They're doing tax collection. But
that's where you know where Jackson County government is. Yes,
but you know, I mean, they do go to the county clerk for their you know marriage licenses and for different recording
and register to vote
and register to vote. I mean, the county conducts elections. The county's involved in planning. The county maintains the roads. I mean, even if people live in urban areas, I'll bet you that not very many people have a week go by without driving on a county road. Many people take their families to the county parks. There are just we use the airport. People don't realize that the county runs the Jackson County Airport. It's one of the few counties that does that and lends a level of complexity here. But airport services are really important to people here in Southern Oregon. So even though if you don't live in a rural and unincorporated area, you still are affected by county services in a lot of different ways.
Is running for this seat a little more attractive now than it would have been, say, 2 years ago when you were faced with potentially closing libraries, which now won't happen because of a separate district?
Well, one of the things that a former county commissioner, John Deason, told me one time was that the best thing a county commissioner can hope for is that no more than 49% of the people are mad at him at any one time, because a lot of county commissioner decisions are either or. Sometimes there are enough resources, or there's one part of the constituents of the county that feel one way and another part another way, and you can't always split the difference and find the Solomon-like decision. You're having to make some hard decisions. So yes, in some ways, because the budget situation seems a little more encouraging, maybe it's a little better. But I believe the people want their commissioners to try to exercise good judgment, to listen to constituents, try to understand the issues and make intelligent and informed decisions. And some of those are hard decisions. So, maybe it's a little more attractive, but I still think there will be difficult decisions ahead.
No doubt. Kevin Talbert running for Jackson County Commissioner, position 3 as an independent, capital I independent. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.